Blog Talk Radio.
Hiya, folks. Say you lost your job today. You say it's 4 a.m. and your kids ain't come home from school yet. You say your wife went out for a corned beef sandwich last week and the corned beef sandwich came back, but she didn't. You say your furniture's out all over the sidewalk because you can't pay the rent and you got chapped lips and paper cuts. And your feet's all swollen up and blistered from pounding the pavement looking for work. Is that what's troubling you, fella?
Lift your head up high and take a walk in the sun with a dignity and stick to it, and you'll show the world, you'll show the world to get off. You'll never give up, never give up, never give up. That ship.
Hey there, friend. You say your radiators didn't work all winter, and now that it's summer, they started up again and you can't turn them off? You say your wife sent your lightweight suits to the cleaners, and that means you'll have to wear your itchy tweeds this morning when they say it'll hit 106? And you gotta meet an important businessman in an hour? And your bridge just broke, and you pasted it together with bubble gum, and you hope it don't fall apart while you're doing some fast talking to this man? And your shoelace just busted. And you open a big cut on your cheek trying to even out your sideburns. And your daughter's gone out with a convict. And your wife just confessed she gave you last $60 as a deposit on an airplane hangar. Is that what's troubling you, friend?
Lift your head up high and take a walk in it.
Hey there, cousin. You say you can't pull your car out of the mud and you're in the middle of nowhere and it's pouring rain and you can't get the top back up and your paycheck's all blurred and your foot went right through the gas and your girl's screaming bloody murder. She's scared of the dark and a stroke of lightning splits your motor in half and your suit's shrinking up fast. And you start up the windy road on foot and 60 yards of barbed wire hits you right smack in the push. And your boat falls down in the mud, and a wild animal comes over and runs away with your shoes. And your car blows up suddenly, and your windshield wiper ends up in your mouth, and you can't move, and the mud's rising up to your nostrils, and you're sinking fast, and you don't hear your girl screaming anymore. Is that what's on your mind, cousin?
Well, lift your head up high and take a walk in the sun with a dignity and stick to it, and you show the world. You show the world to get off. You'll never give up. Never give up. Never give up. That ship.
And now, this is the old philosopher saying, so long, folks.
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. I thought I'd give you a little chuckle, cheer you up, feeling depressed, the world's against you, everything's going wrong. You know how those days are? For the last 6 years, it's been every day, hasn't it? You get up in the morning, you turn on the TV, and what's the first question you ask yourself? What did that effing Obama do to me today? And everybody is pointing the finger at Obama, but nobody's pointing the mad scientist that created this Frankenstein. So, 6 years of destroying the USA, what has Obama taught us? The takedown of the USA started with small things. Roe versus Wade, woman's right to choose, ACLU daily victories, including loading the Supreme Court bench, higher taxes to buy Democrat votes, yeah, no identity if you want to come vote, but if you need to check out a library book, they want 3 pieces of identification. Yeah, we're in trouble. Corporate takeovers by our communist government. You know, this government is the mafia would give you a better break if they were running the government. At least you get some money back. The mafia is smart enough to know not to take it all. Busting out homeowners' equity, that was a big one. That took us down, man. School loan debts now stand at $1 trillion. All these students, they all voted for Obama because he was going to forgive their debt. Yeah, can't do that. Teaching communism in schools. Imagine $1 trillion in debt for school loans. And a total debt nationwide is $17 trillion that we know about. We haven't found all the bad checks yet. And busting out health care. The government took over health care. They control 1/4 of the economy. You don't think we're being Sovietized? Busting out the military, forcing the tough guys to leave and creating a cesspool of weaklings. Busting out Christianity, turning the United States into ethnic splinter groups. What have we accomplished? The murder of 4,700 American babies every day. Chop shops, Democrat chop shops, they open on Sundays. Or they don't kill on the weekend. Aztec sacrifices were less. 4,700 American babies a day, every day. A 50% divorce rate, and that only covers couples with papers. You got to add the hookup generation walkaways to that. The immoral destruction of the American mind. How can you learn morality from Hollywood, or as I call it, pornowood? Every time I turn on the movies, turn on the TV, there's a crap movie. It's like a B-rated movie. Should be like an S-rated movie. Some girl is getting cut to pieces. Where is the theatrics in that? You got to have an Academy Award for the Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 142. Why don't you just watch the Taliban punishing their women who they're mad at? They just cut their noses on an angle so they look like pigs. Did you ever see that? Well, that's what's coming to your neighborhood. You don't even know who lives in your neighborhood. There are tribes living in your neighborhood. There are tribes living in my neighborhood. I just found out. You know how I found out? There's a tribe living in my neighborhood. A friend of ours went to Germany and was watching the news in Germany. And a German news commentator said that the largest Liberian community is in Staten Island, New York. Isn't that great? You think a communist mayor is going to care if a conservative community gets Ebola? Yeah. Add the hookup generation walkaways. I told you about that. The immoral destruction of the American mind. How can you learn morality from pornowood? Where role models are pigs in a blanket. Pavlov training to hate the country that gives you life and protects your life. Following the dog training of anti-American communism, believing the communist lies about your country and yourself and your heritage, not knowing that you are brainwashed, not knowing all the freedom that you have already lost. You were born into lost freedom. You don't know what freedoms you've already lost. You have nothing to compare to. Having received the Marxist shampoo followed by media conditioning, you are not alone. Experts quote the New York Times as truth, the same paper that endorsed Stalin and called Fidel Castro the George Washington of Cuba. Have you noticed how many politicians and government officials use the phrase, "I read" or "I heard it in the media"? Even the generals, I saw it on TV. Well, here's a stat you're going to really jollitize. 90 million Americans don't vote. 206 million are eligible to vote. In the election of Bush versus Gore, it was a split down the middle. There were 30 million votes on each side. 90 million Americans don't vote. That's 3-1. They could be the party in control of the country. if they went to the booth. So don't throw your country away, because if we lose it, no one will take us in. And this I'm dedicating to the boys in the coal mines all over the country that have been betrayed by the party of death, formerly the Democrat Party, presently the Communist Party. And the Rhino Party is now the Democrat Party. Telling you about the person that was in Germany and saw on the news that their neighborhood was overrun by Liberians, and they never had any idea. This is what the government is doing today. They are salting certain areas with indigenous people, and not only that, but they're smuggling in undocumented people, and they're placing them in all throughout the country. There's only one thing wrong with that. All these undocumented people that have been smuggled in by the president of Mexico, who was getting a complete pass, a drug dealer, and El Coyote. This guy is a coyote. And so is our president. Our president is a slave smuggler. He's smuggling in slaves to the United States. Do you think that every man, woman, and child that has been whisked into this country, unbeknownst to immigration, not registered, unnamed, undocumented, do you think they're all going to show up as housemaids and cooks and lawn care people? No. About 10% of them are going to become slaves. They're going to be slaves to organized crime, boys and girls. They're going to end up in prostitution. And the best way to keep prostitutes under control is to dope them up. Just remember that. If you're doing dope, you're a prostitute. They're doping you up too, Sonny, because they plan to take your country away. So the sooner you stay away from a pot, the better off you're going to be. At least you'll be awake when the Russian troops come down the street and the Chinese are directing traffic. Yes, because in communism, everybody works for the boss. There's no unemployment in communism. There's only a bullet in the back of the head if you don't do your job. Somebody described communism very clearly to me. They said, we pretend to work and they pretend to pay us. And that's communism. So speaking of communism, I'm going to tell you about a president that many people voted for and put him in office twice. And somebody showed me this. They had it stuck in a Bible because they didn't want to lose it. And it's a discussion, it's a four-page discussion about the Barack Hussein Obama. And I've only got pages 2, 3, and 4. So I'm going to read what I have. Yes, he told us in advance what he planned to do. Few were listening. The following is a narrative taken from a 2008 Sunday morning televised Meet the Press. From Sunday's 7th of September 2008 at 11:48 Eastern Standard Time, televised Meet the Press, the then Senator Obama was asked about his stance on the American flag. General Bill Ginn, U.S. Air Force retired, asked Obama to explain why he doesn't follow protocol when the national anthem is played. Have you ever seen the classic picture where he's holding his crotch while they're singing the Star Spangled Banner in Iowa on a platform? The general stated to Obama that according to the United States Code, Title 36, Chapter 10, Section 171, during rendition of the national anthem, when the flag is displayed, all present, except those in uniform, are expected to stand at attention, facing the flag with the right hand over the heart, or at the very least, stand and face it. Now get this. Senator Obama replied, as I have said about the flag pin, I don't want to be perceived as taking sides. There are a lot of people in the world to whom the American flag is a symbol of oppression. And we elected this POS. The anthem itself conveys a warlike message. You know, the bombs bursting in air and all that sort of thing. And they're doing that today in all the communist colleges. They're trying to get rid of that. And they use the same line, the same communist line. Now, the article goes on. Are you ready for this? Obama continued, the national anthem should be swapped for something less parochial and less bellicose. I like the song, I'd like to teach the world to sing. If that were our anthem, then I might salute it. In my opinion, we should consider reinventing our national anthem as well as redesign our flag to better offer our enemies hope and love. It is my intention, if elected, to disarm America to the level of acceptance to our Middle East brethren. If we as a nation of warring people conduct ourselves like the nations of Islam, where peace prevails, perhaps a state or period of mutual accord could exist between our governments. This guy was never an American, and he's probably not even a citizen. When I become president, I will seek a pact of agreement to end hostilities between those who have been at war or in a state of enmity, and a freedom from disquieting, oppressive thoughts. We as a nation, is mind control right there. We as a nation have placed upon the nations of Islam an unfair justice, which is why my wife disrespects the flag, and she and I have attended several flag-burning ceremonies in the past. Now, there is, you can go to YouTube, and there is a video about the Obamas, and it says, the title is, All This for a Flag? And the video was the Obamas attended a 911 ceremony in New York. And she turned to her husband and she said certain words that were not, could not be heard. But somebody took the clip and they went to a school that teaches lip reading to deaf and dumb people. And they came to the conclusion that that's what she said. All this for a flag. And he smirked. Of course, I have found myself about to become the president of the United States, and I'll have to put my hatred aside. I will use my power to bring change to this nation and offer the people a new path. My wife and I are looking forward to becoming our country's first black family. You're not the first black family, man. Don't even hide behind color. Indeed, change is about to overwhelm the United States. And somebody said, I'm for one, speechless. Dale Linsborg. Now, this guy didn't get to be president all by himself. This guy had a movement behind him that hates this country as much as he does. And that's why 48 senators, 40 days before 9/11, voted to burn the flag. 40 were Democrats and 8 were rhinos. And one of the rhinos was Mitch McConnell. But 125 Viet Congress mice also voted to burn the flag. So what's that, 1/4 of the Congress? And we all know that there are 70 congressional members of the Communist Party, the Socialist Party, which is the same thing. So I just thought I'd read that to you. And as far as changing the flag, the stars and stripes, maybe to 51 stars if we add the Philippines. But you know what? If you really want to change the tune, you should change it to the battle hymn of the Republic. It starts with, Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. I would go for that one. As a matter of fact, I think that was the second choice when we were looking for a national anthem. And it's easier to sing. And blacks like to sing Glory, Glory, Hallelujah. You start that tune, you see how many people start singing it right away. They'd be singing it for generations already. They've been singing it since 1865. Yep. When a lot of white people stood up to free the slaves. Then the communists came along in the year 2000 and earlier and said, we have to pay reparations. How can you tell that to a Chinaman? How can you tell that to an Irishman? Who are you telling that to? Are you going to tell it to an Italian? How are you going to tell it to a Pole? How are you going to tell it to a German? How are you going to tell it to a Swede or a Norwegian? Who are you going to tell it to? You going to tell it to the Mexicans? It's a communist move. And here's all you communist lovers, here's a little food for thought. There are no blacks in China, and there are no blacks in Russia. And there won't be. So when we fall, who's going to take us in? So I'll play a short tune for the atheists.
Come, Holy Ghost, Creator, bless, and in our hearts take up thy rest. Come with thy grace and heavenly aid to fill the hearts which thou hast made, to fill the hearts which thou hast made. O come for bless, to thee we cry, thou heavenly gift of God most high, thou fount of life and fire of love and sweet anointing from above, and sweet anointing from above. Praise be to thee, Father,
This guy's mother sent me a letter, and I'm going to share it with you. It won't mean much if you're out of town, but if you were a local Staten Islander or from Brooklyn, this would mean a lot to you. And you know what? It may mean a lot to New York State people, too. It says, "Dear neighbor, I hope you'll take time to read my letter. My name is Petrina Castanova Grimm. I'm Michael's mother. First, let me say that I don't like politics. I do, however, vote, and I vote for the person I think will do the best job regardless of political party, and that's the way we should all vote. And if you'll notice, the Democrats never break stride with each other. Once the policy comes down from the top, we're going to kill kids, they all vote to kill kids. Once the policy comes down from the top, we're going to legalize drugs and we're going to tax the junkies. They all legalize drugs and tax the junkies. Yeah. My son certainly has been in the news a lot, and as you know, it hasn't been all been pleasant. And that is why I'm writing to you. I want you to know who Michael really is. You know, this could be a mother who's got a son in Fort Leavenworth that got a bad deal on a court-martial. This could be the mother of Sergeant Tamarussi, who's rotting away in under the foot of the president of Mexico, El Coyote. I don't even want to know his name. He's nameless to me. All I know is he's no good, and he's in cahoots with another president that's no good, another coyote, who's running slaves into the United States. I want you to know who Michael really is and why he wanted to be your congressman in the first place. From an early age, Michael has always spoke his mind. He called it as he saw it. I recall him being 7 years old and telling my mother that he didn't like the Sunday macaroni because the sauce had too much garlic. As you can imagine, his Italian grandparents, especially my mother, were not happy, but that was Michael. The other thing that hasn't changed about my son is his desire to fix things and help people. I got to tell you, I saw a picture of him. He was in a Carmel Richmond nursing home visiting old people, many of whom don't vote. So he's a good guy. He was always the first. He wasn't doing it for the press, like Chuck Schumer, you know, the ambulance chaser. Yeah, he was always the first to raise his hand and volunteer. His father and I used to laugh, saying, there he goes again, trying to save the world. Well, the truth is, Michael is trying to save the world in his own way. I once asked him if he thought he was making that much of a difference, and he shocked me when he said, I am to those I've been able to help. And that is the point of my letter. Michael has been helping others since he was 9 years old, when he brought home his first stray animal. I brought home a stray animal when my mother asked her to leave. My son didn't just talk about doing things. He actually did them. From serving in the U.S. Marines to working undercover with the FBI. Michael has put his desire, anybody that works undercover with the FBI has got to be pretty ballsy, has put his desire to save the world into action, and that has made a positive difference for so many. As a parent, it hasn't been easy. When Michael went off to serve in the Persian Gulf War, I knew he would volunteer to be right in the middle of combat. I was right, and I thank God every day that he survived an explosion that blew up his vehicle while driving through a minefield, and that God kept him safe when later that same day he walked prisoners through the same minefield to safety. In a way, I'm very proud of his valor. But at the same time, it terrifies me to think I could have lost him. He has told me since he wasn't fearful while serving in combat because he knew God wanted him to continue his service to make the country his community and people's lives better. I have seen him move mountains for a lot of people, and I know how many rely on him. I know you will never need his help. I hope you will never need his help, but I do know if you and your family ever does, Michael will move that mountain for you, which is exactly why he's in Congress. He believes we have too much political nonsense and need more straight talk. Michael also knows talk alone is cheap and we need results. He is very much like his father was in that way, getting the job done and not stopping till he reaches his goal. I am very proud to call Michael my son. What Italian mother isn't proud of her son? I'm also proud he is my congressman, and I hope you feel the same and vote for Michael. God bless you, and thank you again for reading my letter, Petrina Grimm. P.S. Michael's father died several years back, so my daughter and I moved in with him. I hear him leave every early in the morning and return late at night almost every single day. So I just want you to know that no one will ever work harder than Michael for you. So what did the communists do to Michael Grimm? Michael Grimm had a restaurant business. And all of a sudden, he got 20 charges in an indictment instigated by the Communist Party under Eric Holder. And they accused him of taking money out of the register and having illegal aliens working in the kitchen in his restaurant. You go to any restaurant in New York City, go into the kitchen and go, ¿Qué pasa, amigos? And see what comes back. I was in a Italian restaurant last night, 50% Mexican. Okay? You're going to tell me they're all legal? This is how the communists work. They use the big schmear. They're usually very good at getting Republican women. They label them putanas. And then, of course, the women have no choice but try and defend themselves, and then they got to go to the piggy bank, and they got to take out all their savings to go hire lawyers to defend their honor. And 80% believe they are putanas based on the news. the media, who is in league with the communists, because the media is communist. They all go to the same journalism propaganda schools. So Mary is charged with being a putana, and she protests her innocence, and finally she is vindicated in a court of law, and the 80% that believed that she was a putana, now only 50% believe she's a putana. She's ruined. She's smeared. And that's what they're trying to do to Michael Grimm. But I got to tell you, Michael Grimm comes from a community, and you heard that, you've seen in his mother's letter, she's playing the Italian card. And she can play the Irish card, and she can play the community card, because everybody is going to be voting for Michael Grimm. And it's nice to have a mother that supports you. There are kids that walk around that are lucky if they have a mother, and many don't have fathers. Okay, so Michael Grimm is my candidate. And you know what they did? They set him up. He was in the congressional hall, and a little communist snake hit him with a question based on this indictment that all of a sudden came down just as he's running for office. Okay? He's the only American. He's the only American in New York City government. All the rest are communistas. The mayor's a communist. Yeah, mayor's a communist. So anyway, so this little weasel of a reporter stuck a mic in his face and asked him a loaded question. So Mike pushed him back, and he said to him, which was recorded, and the weasel had it all set up, it was a stunt. They call that a communist stunt. They'll show up at a rally dressed as a Tea Party member, and then they'll say something racial, and that makes the Tea Party look bad. But what the people don't know is that's a communist, and that's a communist stunt. They're called stunt makers. Al Sharpton does it all the time. You know, the president of NBC? Can you imagine how low end? You know, if I had millions and billions of dollars like NBC has, I would have somebody better. I would have somebody better than Al Sharpton to represent me. I really would. I'd be embarrassed to have Al Sharpton represent me. Even the blacks out in Ferguson, they told Al Sharpton to take a walk. They told Jesse Jackson. They made fun of Jesse Jackson. They said, anybody got billions for Jesse? Anybody got $100 bills for Jesse? Yeah, unbelievable, man. I call Al Sharpton three bags full, you know. Baba, black sheep, have you any wool? Yeah, wool is cash. Yeah, one for my master, and one for the dame, and one for the congressman whose name is the same. So back to Michael Grimm. Michael Grimm was on the balcony, and this communist stuntmaker hit him with a question about his indictment when he was trying to present himself and what he was doing that day, what course of action he was taking for the American people that day. And this guy stuck the mic in and hit him with a loaded question. And Grimm got him on the side and says, if you ever pull a stunt like that again, I'll throw you off this balcony. Now, that's the kind of congressman I want. You know what I mean? And that's what Staten Island wants. And they know the difference. And they know. And they're going to vote for Grimm. Yeah. Besides, his opponent is a Democrat, and he raised everybody's real estate taxes 18%. So that goes a long way with not getting reelected. And you know what my theory is on taxation? We could do as a nation with 80% less taxes and 80% less government. So we gave you a little treat on, and we plugged Michael Grimm, and we wish him well. And we're going to give you a tune. We'll give you a tune about GIs that are coming home. Not the ones that Obama wants to kill in Africa, who is sending them there to die in Africa. This guy kills a lot of GIs. this is the ones that are coming home that served and didn't end up in Fort Leavenworth on trumped-up charges, being court-martialed by a panel of seven officers, none of whom had seen combat. Oh, that's another story. You gotta Google and find out who's rotten in Fort Leavenworth that was sentenced by politically correct judges. This is a little bulletin from the Minuteman Project. Those were the guys that went down to the border the first time to help identify guys coming across, and the government intimidated them and scared them off so that they could keep running the drugs into the country. This is called the Minuteman Project, and they're saying we must make Obama wake up. Obama has woken up. He knows what he's doing. It's part of his plan. And that's why he doesn't want to quarantine anybody coming in from Africa, because he doesn't want to break his rule about open borders on the south, on the southern border, and the northern border. Okay? That's part of his game. His game is to completely Babylonize the United States. He's going to turn it into a giant, a Tower of Babel. And we're all going to be Babylonians. But anyway, this guy says, one thing's for sure, if one infected guy got here, more are on the way. And you know what? That Ebola, the Soviets experimented with Ebola back in the 70s. The Soviets have a huge germ warfare program that they have been using, and they use it in KGB activities, like that guy in London that all of a sudden he died. He got polonium poisoning, remember, in his tea. He didn't recognize that Putin was pouring it behind the counter, and he died. And the president of the Ukraine, they loaded him up with, I think, two dioxins and a virus. And he was a good-looking guy, man. They turned him into the elephant, man. And he survived, but he's not the same person. You got to watch these Soviets, you know. I mean, they murder women and children and throw them down mine shafts. Yeah, especially if their name is Romanov. So that's how the communism began, with the murder of a family, girls, and a hemophiliac boy. And that's why no good will ever come of communism, because it's cursed by God. And their biggest enemy is God. And never forget, atheists make the best communists, and communists make the best Democrats. Here are the top stories of the week from Joe Miller. This guy ran for office up in Alaska. He's a Tea Party guy. Local government orders Christian ministers perform same-sex weddings or face jail and fines. Can't do that. That's a violation of LLP. They're destroying my life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And, of course, down in Houston, they got a communist mayor who wants all sermons to be screened by the government before they're read from the pulpit. How's that, comrade? Do you know Hitler wasn't that aggressive against the church? Yeah. And you know what Stalin said when they said you can't go up against the church? He said, how many tanks does the Pope have? The poor Pope. He's a big target. Let's see here. A vote a yes on number two, group misleading voters with arrest data. Oh, they're trying to legalize weed up in Alaska. Edward Snowden's privacy tips. Get rid of Dropbox. Avoid Facebook and Google. Edward Snowden is a KGB agent, in my opinion. And that's why he ran to China first, and then he went to the Soviet Union second. And Christian magistrate resigns after being ordered to violate conscience and preside over homosexual weddings. Yeah, you can't do it, man. Oh, President Biden's son kicked out of the Navy for using cocaine. And he's got a daughter. I talked about it in my show last night. He's got a daughter that is a partier and a pothead. And this is all coming out about Joe Biden now. It's been a known thing among close friends and associates for probably a couple of years. But at this precise moment in time, when Joe could be a considered candidate for the presidency, Hillary Clinton has ordered that he be Benghazi'd. Al Gore, man, this guy made $500 million from Big Oil. Yeah, the government of Qatar is Big Oil. And they bought his little TV station. Isn't it funny that he had a little TV station, but it was all of a sudden it's worth $500 million? You know who else pulled a stunt like that? You know, what's her name? She has Huffington Post, Arianna Huffington. Yeah, she started out very small, and she was doing the Huffington Post, and she had a lot of college kids who were in debt up to their eyeballs with the college loans, and they volunteered to work for her for free to help her grow her company because they believed in her. And she grew a company, and she turned around. She never paid them, and she sold the company and made $350 million. And today she's an icon in the party of death. Yeah. Kids, get paid. Get paid. Never work for nothing. That's not the American way. There is a culture of deceit in the Obama White House, a serial willingness to say things that are untrue to protect the president. Oh, he's a liar. He's the biggest liar that ever. He beat Clinton. How's that? You want to hear about the lawyer?
Hi, you boys and girls. It's Captain Boycott. I thought I'd just share this with you. This couple of lines that are kind of cute. And the subject is entitled, The Lawyer. Doctor, before you performed the autopsy, did you check for a pulse? No. Did you check for blood pressure? No. Did you check for breathing? No. So then, is it possible that the patient was alive when you began the autopsy? No. How can you be so sure, doctor? Because his brain was sitting on my desk in a jar. But could the patient still have been alive nevertheless? Yes, it is possible that he could have been alive and practicing law somewhere.
Is it any wonder that I've fallen for you? You're the spell I'm under.
The real war on women? Liberals disarming law-abiding women. Oh, speaking of law-abiding women being disarmed, I was watching a report on TV based on gun registration, and it was a pro-gun advocate, and he said that this past year was one of the greatest business years for gun manufacturers, and that the purchases were 50% pistols and 50% rifles, and that there are 300 million guns in the United States. That's almost one for every kid. And that up. Okay? And the thing that blew my mind, that this past year, 49% of the gun purchases were made by women. How's that? So, let's see what this article is saying. The real war on women, disarming law-abiding women. So they must be disarming them to take their guns away. Oh, lots of luck. Oh, this is a Kurdish warrior named Tekoshin, and she's fighting terrorists. We got terrorists right here in the House and the Senate. Some people call them prostitutes. While jihadists routinely declare that they are willing to die for Allah to ensure a spot in heaven, there is apparently a loophole in that promise. Last month, the New York Post reported that Islamic State radicals might embrace death in battle, yet they are petrified of being killed by a female soldier. That if you get killed at the hands of a female, it's a one-way ticket to hell. How's that grab you, huh? He explained that militants apparently believe that if they're killed in battle, they went to paradise as long as they're killed by a man. As a result, the female soldiers have recognized the unique advantage they have on the battlefield. Tekoshin, a 27-year-old Kurdish warrior, is among the fighting women fighting terrorists in Iraq and Syria. She said she believes the enemy is more afraid of us than of the men. Nothing that Islamic State radicals believe. They go to hell if they die in a woman's hands. Yeah, you know, some groups are so small. Well, Israel is the same way. They have women in their military. So we don't have to have that because we're big. But you never can tell, huh? And here's a comment by a guy named Ron, a retired Army colonel. The Democrats have done more damage to the family than any other agency in the nation. They have attacked the very essence of a Christian household, destroying the God-given relationship between men and women. Men and women are to be complementary and not competitors. The union of a man and woman creates the fundamental building block for society. And it is the Democrats that have worked to drive a wedge between men and women for years, creating false arguments and straw men to make victims out of women and to demean men. It is time that women recognize the devil in disguise and to refute the calls of socialism. See, we're talking communist tonight, socialism. Whatever the communists are doing to us in this country, they do not allow it at home. You just remember that. It is the Democrats that are demanding that women take on the role of men and the men become more feminized. That I got to tell you, I see a lot of male models, and they look very weak, and very light. And that's not the average male. You want to see the average male, go to a football game. That the lines between male and female somehow need to be indistinguishable. Women don't belong in combat, and men should not be marrying other men. The traditional roles for male and female must be reaffirmed in the American culture, and family ought to be preserved. The traditional role of women is honorable and essential to our way of life and culture. It is the Democrat Party. It's the Communist Party. The day you stop saying Democrat and say Communist, you're going to be ahead of the game. You're going to be fighting on their level. That seek to fundamentally change the roles of men and women, promising women that they can have it both ways. The roles of men and women are unique and fundamentally different, physically and mentally. God's design for each was unique, and it is their complementary roles that make for godly social order and fundamentally sound families. It is time to tell the party of death, I call them, the Democrat Party, that tinkering with the roles of male and female, of father and mother, is no longer acceptable. It is really sad that what they have done to a once great country, where they have completely neutered it. Democrats continue to use the plight of women as a political weapon. They're the divide and conquer party. That's what they do. They'll play colors on you, man. So what is it that I cannot share this on Facebook? I just shared one. Oh, that's a comment about a girl named, from a girl named Karen. They may be the backbone of the country, but let's face it, they're not physically strong enough to overpower a man in most cases. I got to tell you, I hear stories that, you know, every cop that works with a female partner fears for his life. He knows that, and a guy told me a story about two cops, a guy and a girl. They were doing a duty, they were walking on the beach, you know, doing a patrol on the beach. I think it was Coney Island. And there was a group of guys, and a fight broke out. And the male cop tried to break it up, and they turned on the male cop, and the female cop ran. She ran, and she was in tears, and she went up on the boardwalk, and I think she called for backup. In the meantime, she left her buddy there. That's scary. That's scary. Yeah, and I got to tell you, I would hate to be in combat with a woman and we both get captured. It would tear me up. It would tear me up. But I gotta tell you, I don't think I'd... The only way I get captured is stunned. I'd have to be stunned. I'd have to come to and find out they're standing over me. Because I would check out and bring as many as I could with me. Save the last bullet for myself. Yeah. Yeah. Make them pay my bills. Ex-boyfriend kicks down former girlfriend. Oh, that's nice. You want to hear that? No. I was going to tell you something. Oh, I was looking over the divorce stats and the money settlements for Hollywood stars. Do you know who paid the number one settlement in Hollywood for a divorce? Take a guess. Who do you think it was? Mel Gibson. Do you know how much he paid in his settlement to his wife, his lovely wife who raised 7 kids? He took care of her. $458 million she got. Yep. And all the rest of them, Steven Spielberg, Indiana Jones, they were all in the $50 million category. Nobody came close to paying what Mel Gibson paid. So I'd like to see Mel Gibson make the Joe McCarthy story. You know, I think that would be great. Yeah, unbelievable. Okay, this one's kind of long. Let's see. We'll do a little Willy Bobo, and maybe we can get the Democrats to change their evil ways.
You got to change your evil ways, baby, before I stop loving you. You got to change, baby, and every word that I say is true. You got me jumping and running all over town. You got me sneaking and peeping and running you down. This can't go on. Lord knows you got to change, baby. Thank you.
My house is dark and my pots are cold. You hanging out, baby, with Jean and Joan and oh, who knows who. I'm getting tired of waiting and fooling around. I'll find somebody who won't make me feel like a clown. This can go on. Lord knows you've got to change, baby.
Out of time, I'm going to close with a song by a girl named Jo Stafford, and she was a chanteuse, and she sang only love songs, and she has a nice voice, and she was a representative of the women of her time, and the name of the song is She Was a One Man, One Love, a Woman. The name of her song is No Other Love.
No other love can warm my heart now that I've known.
Have a nice night, folks.